This week on the Country Music Media Podcast.
This has kind of fluctuated. When you look at the top 40, at certain times there's been more black men on the charts than there has been women. Right now that's certainly not the case, but the numbers have kind of gone up and down over the past 3, 4, or 5 years or so. But it's a small number of BIPOC artists being promoted to country radio. It's frustrating, but I think you have to look at how the pressure from those fighting for women in country music worked. Welcome to the Country Music Media Podcast. My name is Billy Dukes on Twitter, at Billy Dukes, on Instagram, at Serious Journalist. And as always, you can email me at billydukes@gmail.com. Give the show a rate and a review if you follow on Apple Podcasts, or just click follow if you're on Spotify for the very first time. Traditionally, Mondays we've done interviews and features. Thursdays have been news and commentary. And if you are new to the podcast, well, sorry for you. Taking a little bit of a break after this week. It's a slow season in country music. Need to recharge a little bit, take care of some family things. We'll be back in August with more episodes. Might go down to once a week when I come back in August. One long episode per week on Thursdays. Still kind of debating the format, though, whether the interview should be on Monday still and the news and commentary on Thursdays. I'd love your opinion on the matter. If you're a longtime listener, tell me what you liked so far and what you'd like to see moving forward as well as we get into what I'm going to call Season 2 of the Country Music Media Podcast. As I said, it has been a pretty slow week, pretty slow month in country music, if we're being honest. There was some news items that broke this week that I think are pretty representative of some of the reoccurring themes of this podcast over the last 9 or 10 months. We've talked a lot about touring amid a pandemic and what that looks like. We've talked a lot about equality in country music, and I hope your thoughts on the matter have at least stretched. If I haven't changed any minds or broaden any horizons, I'm just hopeful that you appreciate there's other perspectives out there aside from your own. And I mean that in both directions. I think a fair amount of empathy would go a long ways towards how quickly we can get to a place that looks something like equality in country music. I stayed mostly away from politics during this season, unless country music crossed over into politics, as it did with Toby Keith in January. My vision is to make country music sport and to look at country music like a sports fan looks at his favorite team. I mean, that means rooting, evaluating, questioning, blindly championing an artist or a song. Walker Hayes is a team that I'll forever be on. And this week, Walker, he has the best-selling song in country music. In fact, the song Fancy Like is top 5 all genres. You probably know Walker's story. He had a record deal about 10 years ago and then lost it. He came back and had a top 10 hit about 4 years ago. And that song, You Broke Up With Me, it sounded like a breakup song, but it was actually about all the people that dropped him when he lost his record deal. It was kind of a sneaky way of getting back at him. Then he tried to release a song about a man named Craig, which was a good song, a touching story, made everyone cry. Radio wouldn't touch it. A few years ago, Walker lost a daughter at birth, and that really derailed his career and set him on a new course, I think. It got him off an album cycle. The Boom album had some radio hits on it, I think. I think Shut Up Kenny would have been really good. But he decided to move on to some new music, and he's struggled with country radio since. Along the way, he battled an alcohol issue. He's been really honest about that. Walker has 6 kids. The oldest, his daughter, does the TikTok videos with him, and she's just delightful to watch. And that's a big part of the reason why the Fancy Like song has been such a top seller. It went viral on TikTok first, another song to do that, and really found some tangible benefits for him. You might not think Walker's music is country, and that's totally fair, but if you can't smile during a Walker Hayes song, you just can't smile. Live music has returned and starting to see some of those special stage moments as well. Earlier this week, we saw Hardy surprise the family of a military. I think he was in the Army. Robert Kelly is his name. And we've seen this video before. You know, it happens on talk shows. It happens at sporting events where the family thinks they're there being honored for one reason. In this case, Hardy had told the family they were just going to be VIPs as he honored families who were just missing their loved ones overseas. Robert Kelly had been serving overseas for some 400 days, so they walked onto the stage from one side, and then Robert Kelly came from the other side and surprised them. And it was all the emotions, all the tears you would expect. I mean, these are the kind of moments that we're going to start seeing again in country music. And not just these great military moments with fans. Keith Urban was really good at this. He would pull fans out of the crowd to play guitar with them and do some neat stuff. Of course, Garth Brooks had some really, really special moments during his shows that would end up on YouTube. As someone in the news media who's not going to get a chance to see every show this summer, obviously, or maybe even every tour, it's seeing these moments on YouTube that I really look forward to. It's just, they're just a lot of fun to cover. These feel-good moments between fans and artists. Luke Bryan, I think, was really the first one who started to take advantage of that and realize that these magical moments get caught by fans and then get into the news media cycle and can really do their tour a lot of good. He picked up on that probably 7 or 8 years ago. But Hardy had a really nice moment as well, and I encourage you to look for that. It was as he played his song, Give Heaven Some Hell. A tough story to write about this week, or even to figure out, was the news between two new artists, a woman named Christy Lee, who accused Heath Sanders of assault at a club in Georgia, Decatur, Georgia. She said on Instagram that he hit her and put his hands on her neck and shouted some homophobic slurs at her. Heath, at first, responded by locking down his social media. He went private on Twitter. And then he came out with a full denial of making any homophobic slurs and said he was only acting in self-defense. There was a police report which finally surfaced on Tuesday, and it filled in some of the details, including how the altercation began. It began when Christy Lee performed about 30 minutes too long, not realizing that Heath had to perform that night. Heath then moved her guitar from the stage, and she got rather upset about that. Some words were exchanged. She approached him, she says, to pick up her guitar case, but he took that as a threat and stood up, and then from there everything just sort of devolved. It was just unnecessary. Cooler tempers could have prevailed at a number of different points in the altercation. It's really kind of hard to patch together who is the main aggressor, and that was the conclusion that the police came to as well. I'm not going to offer an opinion on this because I think that would be pretty unfair. I've talked to Heath once before, and I thought his song Old School's In had some real potential this year. I don't know Heath Sanders. I hadn't heard of Christy Lee prior. What was remarkable to me about this story was, though, as a news story, the patience of the media and to wait until Heath offered his account, which came about 20 hours after Christy Lee offered hers on Instagram. I think the patience was partly because both artists are so new and not particularly well known, but it's the kind of charged up story that someone might run with early without checking. A male accused of hitting a female who's possibly a lesbian. That story is tempting to run with. I think that they're so unheard of helped create a little bit more fairness and equity in the reporting. If the parties were both radio hit makers, I'm not 100% sure the response would be the same. Like if Kelsey Ballerini, for example, is making these accusations, does everyone sit on it for a full day? I hope I never find out. And then finally today, I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into something that RJ Curtis and I touched on pretty briefly on Monday. RJ is the executive director of CRB, Country Radio Broadcasters, who puts on CRS every year. And he's a radio vet, Country Radio Hall of Famer, has worked in a number of different positions across country media, mostly in radio, but then in print and digital media as well. We talked briefly about the role that record labels play in promoting equality in country music, because I do think, by and large, that radio has been the villain in most conversations. And I'd argue that country radio won't play the songs that they're not asked to play. Now, this doesn't take country radio off the hook. It's just sort of the reality of the situation. No one's looking for deep cuts, so to speak, because of that rule that we talked about, which is that what you're not playing can't hurt you. It doesn't seem to apply to Morgan Wallen for whatever reason, but I promise you that some radio programmer is still using it to justify not playing an outside-of-the-box female artist or a BIPOC artist. At present, there are 3 women in the country, top 20, Miranda Lambert, Lainey Wilson, and Carly Pearce. That's 15%. 4 more in the country top 40, which is Kelsey Ballerini, Calista Clark, Ingrid Andress, and Priscilla Block. So that's about 17.5%. And then there are some other women who are on the chart, but not as primary artists, like Pink and Trisha Yearwood. There are two black artists on the top 40. That would be Jimmy Allen and Kane Brown. Kane is part of Chris Young's song, so I guess he's a featured artist, so to speak, in this case. Jimmy Allen might be the only primary artist, BIPOC artists. I mean, 17.5% isn't a great number, but I guess if you're an optimist, which I tend to be, is that it's new faces when it comes to women. You know, 5 years ago when this conversation began, or I guess it's even been 6 or 7 years ago now, it was all Carrie Underwood and Miranda Lambert. I mean, it was them, two artists holding up all the numbers. And anyone who was following closely knew that the percentages were going to drop if either took some time off, which they did, or if either one of them started to have a little bit less success, which they did. I think the urgency led to some changes that we're seeing today in small doses. It's a trickle. But for example, Warner Music Nashville had two female artists with number one hits in 2020. They had not had a female with a number one hit in 15 years. And I'm talking solo females. Broken Bow Records is having a lot of success with Lainey Wilson right now. I don't know that Broken Bow has ever broke a female artist at country radio. Lainey Wilson, who is in the top 20, that might be the highest charting solo female artist they've ever had on that label. Over at UMG, Lauren Elena, she is the last solo artist on UMG to have a number one hit, and she did it in 2017, but they found a lot of creative ways, and this might be in large part because of Lauren Elena's team. They found some creative ways to keep her on the radio. She's duetted with John Pardee. She had a number one hit with Kane Brown. I mean, she is remaining a present force. And I'll say by and large, UMG is a little bit more creative and outside-the-box thinking when it comes to distribution. They're not all in on just radio with each of their artists. I suppose it should be mentioned, too, that Maddie and Tay, an all-female solo, or an all-female duet, had a number one hit in 2020. Sony's doing pretty well, I think. I think when you look at who is having success with a diverse set of artists, it's got to be Sony and then maybe Big Machine as well. But Sony has Maren Morris. Carrie's last number one hits were on Sony. Miranda Lambert certainly having some success. And beyond that, some really, really strong artists who just haven't broke yet. I think of Tennille Towns as a great example there. Elle King is going to get a shot here, and she'll probably have a big hit. And then you got some independent artists like Kelsey Ballerini and Tennille Arts. It's really, comparatively, a small number of BIPOC artists being promoted to country radio. And this has kind of fluctuated. When you look at the top 40, at certain times there's been more black men on the charts than there has been women. Right now that's certainly not the case, but the numbers have kind of gone up and down over the past 3, 4, or 5 years or so. But it's a small number of BIPOC artists being promoted to country radio. It's frustrating, but I think you have to look at how the pressure from those fighting for women in country music worked to truly get some new talent on the airwaves. It took a while, but it worked. Sony signed Willie Jones recently. Broken Bow has found a way to introduce Blanco Brown and continues to really lift up Jimmy Allen. He's on his way to his third number one hit. The ACMs this year found a way to include Warren Treaty. The Shindellas were part of the CMT Awards. Apple Country Radio is a force with their programming when it comes to diversity. Someone's got to be signing Breland soon. He's just too talented, and he's all over the place. I think what's most refreshing is that these new artists, in all cases, are allowed to be themselves. Nothing sounds forced from Willie Jones or Breland. I don't think we're close or really even on the right track with giving all artists an equal shot at the radio, but at least we're looking at the right track. And I think that is a sign of progress, no matter how small it is. It's a sign that what people are doing right now is working. And that includes on the journalist side as well. You know, there's some different voices in country music journalism that are being amplified. Not a lot, but some. People are angry about this topic, and they should be. And those people who are yelling on social media should absolutely stay angry because we need a seed of discomfort to continue to grow. Overall, I think it's pretty dangerous to compare the lack of women in country music issue to the lack of diversity because it sort of flattens both problems. But there is a lesson to be learned with one that can be applied to the other. Next up, find someone over 40. Put him or her on the radio as a new artist. That would be really bold. There is not a single label in town signing 40-year-olds. Which is a shame, because that's a 10-year head start that you're just wasting, but alas, we're not quite that progressive yet, I guess. By the Numbers this week finds Morgan Wallen on top of albums, followed by two Luke Combs albums, and then Morgan Wallen's debut album at number 4. No new albums debuted in the top 25 this week. My man Walker Hayes has the number 1 country song sales with Fancy Lake, followed by Little Bit by Nelly and Florida Georgia Line, and Luke Combs' Forever After All. Forever After All and Little Bit are 1 and 2 streaming, followed by Chris Stapleton's Tennessee Whiskey. Most added is the worst country song of all time by Brantley Gilbert with Hardy and Toby Keith. Number 1 airplay is Luke Combs' Forever After All, and for an 8th week now, Luke is the number 1 hot country song as well. That's a wrap on what I'm calling Season 1 of the Country Music Media Podcast. Big thanks to Billboard for the charts, Taste of Country to the job, and people like Chris Owen, Angela Stefano, Emily Yar, Marcus Dowling, and so many more who have not only been guests on the show, but have carried on great conversations on social media. Just people who listen and tweet at me. Y'all ask good questions, you make good points, and you call me out when I'm wrong, and I really do appreciate that. I'm targeting the week of August 2nd for a comeback, after the kids go back to school and after concert season starts to ramp up. Can we do this touring thing without getting ourselves sick or killed? And how do you cover live music this summer in 2021? Let's find out together in August during episode 70 of the Country Music Media Podcast.